This is ESPN New York Tonight. Here's Larry Hardesty.
Lots of stuff to get into until 9 o'clock tonight. Obviously, the All-Star game was last night. So now, even though I've been imploring you to take a little break, try to step away from what you're seeing with what's been happening with the Mets and Yankees for the first half, now we can start to delve into what you want to see in the second half from both these teams. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Obviously, football is back on the table. Giants with the Hard Knocks last night. A lot of people talking about that. The Jets are always seem to be in the picture talking about something. So we have a lot to do inside this edition of ESPN New York Tonight, Hardesty and Pagrassa. As I mentioned, 1-800-919-3776. So for me, this is a very interesting time. Now, I mentioned at the beginning of this month that this was going to be the month of decision for this New York Mets team. This was going to be the month where you could see what team this really is. Is this a team that could continue to perform as well as they did in the month of June and carry it over so that when the trading deadline becomes available, they're going to be buyers instead of sellers? All right. And so the way they played going into the broadcast, going into the All-Star break, let's face it, they have proven that they should be buyers at the deadline. They've proven it. They've played well enough. And even Pete Alonso took this opportunity to make sure that everybody understood that, hey, guess what? I don't want to be traded. I want to stay with this Met ball club. I want to be the guy that stays here. I want to be the guy that sees this through. He said he loved New York. He loves the team. And why wouldn't he love the team the way the team is playing right now? They are doing everything they did not do in the month of May. Everything. They are hitting the baseball well. They're hitting in clutch situations. Their defense has improved. The pitching, the starting pitching has gotten better. Yes, there are some issues going to the bullpen, but that's to be expected. You knew that. Listen, the bullpen was going to be an issue from the beginning of the season. And everything was added, all pressure added to that bullpen because of the situation that you had with Kodai Senga being on the injured list starting the season. And he's had three rehab starts right now, and so he's getting closer. Hopefully by the trade deadline at the end of the month, he'll be able to get back into this rotation. And it's almost like it was under the Wilpons, right? You've got an injured player, and he's coming back to the lineup. So it's almost like, hey, guess what? We're getting a new player, when it's really one of your older players. But it is a player who is the ace of your staff. It's a player who you expected to be a guy that would be the stopper, so that when you had losing streaks or bad games or any situation like that, he would be the guy that would come in and provide that, listen, he's our ace, he's our stopper, we're going to win today because he's on the mound. And he proved that to you in the second half of last season. Did he have some issues starting the adjustment period last year? Absolutely. My biggest issue with him last season for the first half of the season was he didn't give you any length. You'd be waiting for him to go 6-7 innings, he would give you 5. But in the second half of the season, as he got, you know, more involved and understood, made the adjustments to a regular rotation. Remember, over in Japan, they normally pitch once every 7 days. Now you're looking to get into a regular rotation once every 4-5 days. Once his body adjusted to it, once his arm adjusted to it, he was a major factor for this Met starting rotation. And that's what you expect him to continue to be going forward. Now, is it going to take him a minute or two to get revved up? Is it going to take him a minute or two to build himself up? It's going to be like spring training again for him, right? He's got to build himself up, X amount of pitches. Yes, he's done some in the rehab starts, but that's not against major league pitching. So we got to get him rolling. We got him going against major league hitters. So then this way we'll understand what he's trying to do and what he can do. And hopefully then that will take some more pressure off this bullpen. Now, clearly, David Stearns and Steve Cohen, Carlos Mendoza, everybody, the players, even the other relievers, know that this team has got to improve the bullpen. They're not going anywhere, ladies and gentlemen, if they don't improve this bullpen. And that's clear. Could they use another bat? Maybe. Could they use another arm, starting arm? Possibly. But for right now, I think it's clear. The number one thing that they have to deal with, the number one issue, is getting this bullpen back so that it becomes where it should be, a credible situation. Have they gotten guys that have given them a couple of things that have shown some signs, like Bulo has shown some things? He's given you some outings. He's shown you that he is available, that he can come into tough spots and get some outs. Yes, Ottavino's been inconsistent. You know, Sean Rifoli, there's been a bunch of guys. Yes, they've been hurt by injuries, clearly. But nevertheless, this team has got to be shored up in the bullpen. Even, listen, Edwin Diaz has got to be a bit more consistent. He's shown you some signs since he's come back from, you know, the suspension. Yeah, the couple of nervous outings, but I think he'll be okay. So for right now, the Mets have to be buyers at the deadline. And I think I don't see them moving Pete Alonso unless it is an unbelievable deal. I don't think you move Pete Alonso if you're going to move him until the end of the season. I've seen some reports online, heard some things that Houston is interested, in air quotes, in Pete Alonso. But I really don't think, again, unless the Mets are blown away by what the offer is going to be, I really don't see them at all making a move to move Pete Alonso out of the rotation. I really don't. As far as the Yankees are concerned, that is a bit more delicate. And the reason why that's a bit more delicate is because they have more needs. We've talked about it a lot, but you know, you're a Yankee fan, you understand it. The corner positions. Now, perhaps Ben Rice could be an answer, but he's given you, it's really been the short sample size, right? So you're really not sure about how good for how long he can be. He had, obviously, the game in Baltimore before the break, big clutch home run. Yankees went on to lose that game. He has shown some signs. For me, I would leave him at first base. It's sink or swim with him. Let him play. Clearly, until Rizzo comes back, and then you find out what Rizzo brings to the table. And then you can always shift Rice to the DH. You can always put Rizzo at DH. So first base, if you can find a way to improve it, I think you try to look at that. But the way Rice has played so far, let's hold it a little bit and see a little bit more about what he can do. Let's see how these next couple of weeks play out. Third base, you know, I think you need to improve the third base offensively. So that's got to be an issue. And the bullpen right now has not been good for the Yankees. They've got a couple of issues there. I'm not sure what's up with the closer. Is he really the closer? Do you think you really need to replace him? Yeah, I know he was an all-star, but he's been inconsistent this year. What do you think? 1-800-919-3776. I'll tell you what, we'll step away for a quick minute. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls and continue our conversation here. It's Hardesty for Grasso on 98.7 ESPN.
This is ESPN New York Tonight. Here's Larry Hardesty.
Do the Yankees have a closer problem? I would say yes. What do you say? And what do you think the solutions could be to handle that? It looks like over the past couple of weeks, part of the Yankee issue has been getting to the closer. Tommy Canley's been inconsistent. Weaver's been up and down. There's been a number of guys that Aaron Boone has brought in key situations to try to get the team some wins, and it just has not worked out for him. So what do you see is the next step that can be done for this Yankee team? Because clearly, and I get it, I know you look at this team, and while I'm talking relief and I'm talking pitching, most of you are probably talking hitting, and I would understand that. The fact that the lineup has not given you any length, that it's been Soto and Judge, and that's about it consistently for most of the season, sprinkling a little Volpe here and you know, a couple of other players, maybe Wells on a couple of occasions, but that's really Ben Rice, but that's really been it. And what's funny is, really, That same formula gave you the best record in baseball for most of the first half of the season. It wasn't until we got to June where things really began to fall apart. Yeah, we get that Baltimore had given you trouble. But other than that, you played well against just about everybody else. So while I understand that you want your lineup to be longer, I understand that, you know, Rizzo is out, but he really wasn't giving you a lot when he was playing. LeMahieu is showing you a little something, the bat's starting to get warm just a bit. But you can't really depend on him because he hasn't given you anything. Bullpen's shut down. He's been one of the least productive hitters in baseball over the past couple of weeks. So for you, most Yankee fans would probably say, Larry, we need the offense. That's why I mentioned earlier, it is such a tough situation for Brian Cashman. Because whereas David Stearns is looking at, okay, I got to get bullpen help. I know what I got to get. I got to get a couple of bullpen arms, and I think I'll be okay. Cashman's got a list. He's got a list. He's got relief pitchers. He's got first base. He's got third base. And listen, he's got second base too. Gleyber Torres is not produced. Gleyber Torres is not taking advantage of this walk year. He's not done what you would think a lot of people would be able to do in their walk year, which is put up a bunch of numbers, because this is going to determine what your next contract is going to look like. So if the numbers don't go where they're supposed to go, what happens? Okay, you're going to lose money. You're going to end up signing a one-year deal somewhere where, you know, you're going to have to prove yourself again next year. So if you are Gleyber Torres, you would like to see if you could get a little something going. The Yankees would love to see him get hot. Yankees would love to see anybody get hot other than Judge and Soto at this point to really get things going, to try to boost that lineup, to take some of the pressure off of Soto and Judge, who have had a phenomenal first half of the season. I mean, they've been consistent. They have carried this offense. And Gordon Damon says it all the time. Why does anybody pitch to Aaron Judge? I don't get it. I'm going to add, why does anybody pitch to Juan Soto and Aaron Judge? Because they have been what has carried this Yankee offense. And just like Yankee fans know it, teams know it. And that's why you noticed that Judge in the last game in Baltimore, what did he get to hit? Not much. They were determined he was not beating them. A lot of off-speed stuff, a lot of stuff out of the zone. And fortunately, he has been a guy who now understands what that means. He understands that you don't go chasing. Even though people behind you are not producing, you do what you're supposed to do. You take the walk and you go to first base and you hope and pray to somebody behind you that the pitcher makes a mistake and somebody gets a big hit, and you and your good batting eye and not forcing yourself trying to do too much, it's paid off. Because that's what you need to have happen. Yeah, Verdugo's been awful since really early in the season. He's been awful. I get it. And listen, I know a lot of you want to blame Aaron Boone, but Boone is juggling the lineup that he's got. It's up and down. He's trying to figure out people. He's looking down his bench, and he's like, none of you guys are hitting. What am I supposed to do? Boone's doing the best he can. So he's, you know, he's almost those days that Michael Kay talks about, that Billy Martin said he used to put the lineup in a hat and take it out. Well, Boone, I don't think Boone's doing that, but, you know, he's trying to rotate who can give Judge and Soto some protection. And really, for the most part, I think Ben Rice has done a decent job of getting them protection, but not a whole lot of folks out. Not many people other than Ben Rice have been able to do that. So it's crazy. What do the Yankees have to do? Do you agree it's just bullpen, or do you want a bunch of other things? Also, for Met fans, I know a number of you do not want Pete Alonso to be traded. I don't want Pete Alonso to be traded. And listen, I think it's a real good chance that he's not going to go anywhere, because they need him to add to this offense. Yes, the offense has played well. Yes, Brandon Nimmo has done a great job. Yes, Francisco Alvarez, since he's returned, has been a big asset to the lineup, offensively and defensively, throwing out some runners since he's been back and working with the pitching staff. Yes, Mark Vientos has, listen, Brett Beatty, I don't know if he's coming back up here anymore because Vientos has taken over that job at third. You might see some first base as well. So obviously, you know, to put Alonso with the DH. So obviously, the Mets are in a spot where people are going to offer and see just what Alonso's worth. What can they do to get him? Do you agree with me they should hold on to Alonso? Or if there's a deal that just blows the Mets away, are you willing to part with it? We'll get your thoughts next. It's Harder State for Grasso here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is ESPN New York Tonight. Here's Larry Hardesty.
Riding with you until 9 o'clock tonight, getting your thoughts on some early baseball. A little later, we'll turn our attention to the Knicks. Now, there's a number of folks who are wondering just what the Cam Payne addition means. And we touched on it a little bit last night. Some feel that they signed him and brought him in to be part of a trade situation so they can improve themselves at the center position as a backup. Some feel that he is going to move Deuce McBride out, and maybe McBride will now be involved in a package deal for a big man. And then there's another group of folks who are wondering, are thinking that Cam Payne is going to stay. And the big question that brings is, well, just how many people will Tom Thibodeau play? You know, he don't play a lot of folks. I mean, we watched him go no more than 7 deep. Now we're looking at, you know, possibly an 8-man rotation, 9-man rotation, maybe 10. It's not like Tom Thibodeau to me. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Right now, let's go to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. Dave is in West Caldwell. Dave, start us off on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
With the Yankees and what you were talking about before, like bullpen versus like bats, bullpen will be ideal. Yeah, Torres getting hot will be amazing just to get some value out of it. Just not sure if it's actually going to, like, you know, fruition, what his market will be. But I think any relief, like, and everyone needs relief pitching in the whole major league. Like, everyone needs it. So, Rice is doing a good job backing up, you know, producing, but I guess really, like, do we know when the Yankees will get healthy again? That's the real question. With some of the guys that would help the batting lineup, you know, Stanton, Rizzo, guys like that, come back. But, like, you know, you're not going to get Miller, who just, you know, lit it up in the All-Star game last night, unless you want to get rid of, like, your whole farm team for him. But
yeah, yeah.
Really, for the Yankees, it's health, and it's maybe finding certain deals. Like, you know, I tease my Mets fan friends, like, no, you know, Alonso's coming to the Yankees as a, you know, when we were early in the year, which would just, it made everyone cringe. I heard you laugh, so I know it made you cringe a little bit. But,
just a little.
You know, but Beatty is not playing at all for the Mets, too. And he plays third. He plays infield. I know he's not hitting and producing a little bit, but, you know, new space might help him. As an example, you might find guys like that, you know, get younger because LeMahieu's not doing really well either. You know, there's a lot of holes. There's a lot of little deals, but it's up to Cashman, really.
Yeah, this is going to be, and thanks for the phone call, Dave, this is going to be a tough move for Cashman here, okay? Because, as you mentioned, everybody who is going for a wild card, everybody who's going for a deep run in the postseason needs arms out of the bullpen. Everybody. And you add to that the situation of, you know, the teams that are out of it, well, just about everybody's in it. I mean, look how many teams are in the race still in the National League. Will 3-4 teams be out of the running for the wild card by the trade deadline? Probably not. I mean, we may look at some teams and not think that they're interested, that they will have a shot at the wild card, we may look at him and say, oh, come on, Pittsburgh's not going to hang around. No, but with that young man Skeens, the way he pitches, he might keep them in it a little bit longer than what you think. All right. Arizona, I can't count Arizona out. I know they've been horrible this year, but I mean, they had a nice little run last year. Okay. So I still have to look at them. I can't say they're out of it. Are you thinking San Diego's out of it? I don't know. They may make a move at the deadline to try to get to make sure that they stay in it or improve their chances in it. So with so many teams involved still in the wild card situation, I mean, anybody, that's what's going to make it even harder for Cashman, Stearns, or the general managers to make sure that they have an opportunity to try to get this relief pitching. So that's the scary thing, okay? That's the scary thing here. And so that's what Cashman's got to have. As far as, you know, you mentioned Beatty, you know, we'll see what happens with him. I'm sure, you know, I was joking that they're not bringing him up, that this is Vientos' job to lose. They're going to bring him back. They got to see what he has, okay? They're going to give him another opportunity. And you never know. Hopefully it won't be a serious injury, but there's going to be an injury that's going to pop up. I mean, look at what Taylor's done. Look at what Stewart has been able to do since they've been playing and they've had the opportunity to get some playing time with Starling Marte out. You almost don't miss Starling Marte with the you know, production you've gotten from the outfield. So there's going to be opportunities for Beatty to come back and see what he's learned. It's troublesome that he's gone down multiple times over the past couple seasons to try to get straight. But the question becomes, when he comes up this time, I mean, if he's able to give you some of the improvement that Mark Vientos has given you since he's come back, I mean, you'll take that. You'll take those multiple trips down. Plus, the other thing is for the Mets, they have spent a lot of money and made a lot of moves to build up their minor league system. They're really not trying to make it, you know, to deplete it so quickly after they just built it up. Mike's in the Poconos. What's up, Mike?
Well, I need your help to answer a question to start my point. Is it still true that every team must have a representative at the All-Star team? Every team must have at least one?
I do not think that's the same. I do not think it's the same story. I don't think you have to have everybody represented. I don't think so. I'm not sure, but I don't think so.
Okay. Well, then that my point was going to be that, again, we all know that when Alonso first started asking, and he still, I guess, he thinks he's worth more than, let's say, other, you know, Freddie Freeman, Olson. And you know, me and my group of friends, you know, you hear numbers even like he's going to be asking for $40 million a year. Never mind, I don't even think he's worth $30 million. And I'm a Met fan, and I like Pete. He's proven he's a little awkward, but he's the other people you hear, Aaron Judge money, which is absolutely insane. So my point, I'm going to go back to the All-Star game. They put clearly, if there was any Mets that should have been an All-Star game, it should have been either Lindor or Nimmo. So did he force the National League's hand when he said, yeah, I'll come to the home run derby, and he embarrassed himself, as long as you know, I'm on the team. Which, if that's the case, did he – because obviously if it was where you had to pick a rep and they were still going to pick a Met, it would have been Nimmo and Lindor, correct? Do you agree?
I agree, yes.
Yeah, it certainly wouldn't have been Alonso, because it all goes back to, you know, some of these, and I'm a big Met fan, but it's a couple of crazy things that, you know, we know he has Boris as his agent, but he's nowhere near worth the money you're hearing.
Yeah.
So to me, I'm at the point, and if he just did this, you know, and I get it, he wanted to be in the all, he loves the home run derby, but if he forced their hand, you know, he is a two-time home run derby. Believe me, I'm not into that at all. But he is a two-time. Did that play a little bit in the Nimmo or Lindor not getting to go? And if that's the case, that's a selfish move, which could also be like what his asking price is. You know,
all right, Mike, let me correct myself. Every team has to be represented in the All-Star game. Every team has to be represented.
There you go, Larry. Then he cost them. Go ahead.
But to be fair, Mike,
Hello?
He could, yeah, to be fair, he didn't have to. They could have brought somebody else in just because he was there for the home run derby. Doesn't mean he had, you know, they could have added Nemo. They could have added Lindor.
I know, but he can't afford, if they were all, there, is there really a Met that's worth it, you know, the first half of the season? I say Nimmo's numbers clearly say yes.
Yes.
So I get it. They could have picked somebody else, but they might have said, well, you're only worth one. We're giving, you know, if we have to take Alonzo, that's your guy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I hear what you're saying, Mike, and thanks for the phone call. It's an interesting thought. I just believe that even if he was going for the home run derby and was there as a first baseman, they could have added another person. But I'll say this, the way Nimmo's responded by not being an all-star, I'm glad they didn't call him. I'm glad they didn't. I'm glad they did not. Because he has taken that and he has worn that like a badge of honor. And you are 1,000% right. I mentioned Gleyber Torres has not handled his walk year season well. Pete Alonso has not handled his walk year season well either. He's not. And you can only hope. He had a home run on Sunday before the break. You can only hope that he's due on the other side to come back and, you know, give you one of those runs where Alonso just dominates, where he carries a team, where he just, you can't get him out. Home run, hit to all fields, singles, doubles. That's what you're hoping for if you're a Met fan. You really want him to build up, to get a hold of this offense and show what Pete Alonso can do. But I'm kind of torn because I haven't seen that Pete Alonso consistently. And once again, look, I get it. It's baseball. All right? It's baseball. And because of the fact that it's such a long season, everybody goes through slumps. Some people have a slump the first half, second half. You wouldn't even know they had a slump. And you're kind of hoping that if you're a Mets fan for Alonso. And he's got to be hoping for that too. Because otherwise, he's going to be in the situation at the end of the season where he's going to be playing for a one-year contract as well. He's going to have to sign a one-year contract somewhere and prove that he can give you the power numbers and the consistency that he has done in the past. The past year and a half, we've not seen that Pete Alonso. Has he been decent? Yes. Has he been what we've expected the first couple of years in the league? He has not. He hasn't. And, you know, you're desperately missing that from him. That's the Pete Alonso you've been looking for. That's the Pete Alonso you want to see. That's the Pete Alonso this team needs if they're going to consistently make a serious run, put some wins together, and make a run at this NL wild card. They need Pete Alonso offensively. Plain and simple. Hey, reset your preset with ESPN New York. Show us you're listening by uploading a photo of a device playing the ESPN New York app for a chance to win a once-in-a-lifetime experience with your favorite host. Head to the contest tile on the ESPN New York app to enter. This week's giveaway is a visit to the ESPN New York studios to visit Bart and Han on Wednesday, August 28th. You'll even have a chance to join them on the air. Maybe you'll get the power hour. Keep it locked in all summer long for more great experiences. The conversation continues here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is ESPN New York Tonight. Here's Larry Hardesty.
Talking a little baseball, I'm about to switch over to some hoops. And then a little later in the show, probably just after 8 o'clock, we'll turn our attention to the NFL again, and we'll get your thoughts on this continued conversation of Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. Plus, we'll do this at the 8 o'clock hour. I really want to hear from Giant fans about how they are, what they're thinking of this Hard Knocks offseason with the New York Giants. That is Tuesday nights on HBO, and of course is available to stream on Max. I'm just really curious about how you guys are getting to this, because once again, you understand that they're not showing you anything that could be deemed a competitive advantage. What you're seeing, they know. They're allowing you to see it. They're allowing you to get a little behind the scenes, behind the curtain about how they handle certain things. They're allowing that. So you're not going to see anything earth-shattering. You're not going to see anything that's going to be, oh my God, I didn't know that was the way it was going to be. They are very comfortable and have final say about what the final product is that you see. But it's still because of the way the Giants have run their franchise. They are the ultimate business franchise, one of the, you know, pillars of the National Football League. And so you're kind of surprised in a sense that they are allowing you to see what goes on behind the scenes. But on the other side of it, it is their 100th anniversary. So there's that part of it that you see, some of the things that they're planning, some of the other stuff. So there's a number of interesting things with it. So I'm very curious to hear from Giant fans. We'll hear from you guys a little bit later about how you're feeling about this. Plus, I had the opportunity to catch up on the Netflix series on the receivers. I watched a bunch of them. And Davante Adams is not helping this moniker and the storyline on whether he is happy in Oakland. Okay? I mean, in Vegas. Listen, he's not happy in Vegas. You can see it. It's clear. He's not happy in Vegas. He just isn't. So he is not helping matters. He is stoking the fire a little bit, as is Aaron Rodgers stoking the fire a little bit. But I will be honest with you. If I were a Jet fan, I would not be running to get a hold of Davante Adams. I would take my shot at Brandon Ayuk. Just me. No disrespect to Davante Adams. None. But I might look at Ayuk a little bit more. That's just me. 1-800-919-3776. Spike is in St. Pete. Hey, Spike.
Well, I feel when you said basketball, that was my calling, you know. remember Mike Mancuso?
Yes, of course.
I'm your stringer. So, that's for people listening don't know what that is. That's an independent contractor. I guess
yes. You
would call me up.
That, yes, you would.
Offers their services through an encapsulated, it's on like UPI and Associated Press. These are local stringers that cover the teams for various people, right?
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
Okay. So I'm your stringer. I watched the last quarter of the Summer League game, and I spoke to someone who's actually out there, someone mm-hmm. in the business. I won't mention the name. It wouldn't be right to do. And mm-hmm. I told that. Did you happen to catch any of it?
I saw the final maybe 6-7 minutes.
Okay. So for those listening, the Knicks came back and won the game on a ball screen and won down 2. With 2 seconds to go. About right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Tyler Kolek, he's small. He's 22, 23. He's out of Marquette. This is the difference, Larry, in playing 2-3 years in college. It really shows.
Sure.
He knows what he's doing. He sees the floor. He's a little small. He looks one-dimensional to me. And when you mentioned before about Cameron Payne, I've spoken to a few people about him. I don't know what they're going to do. They got too many guys, you know, and they're probably maneuvering to do something. They don't want guys over 30 who are slowing down on a defensive end. It just doesn't fit. And you did bring out a great point last night to me, and I looked back at it. It's what you do when you're retired. It's a hot day and the gym's done. You know, what else do you do? So I looked back at the playoff.
Yep.
Deuce McBride did lose his man a couple of times. Now, the competition was better. He improved a lot of things in his game in 1 year, and they got him cheap. Man, they got him real cheap, $3 million a year. So I don't know what the machinations are here. I think the objective is to either, like we talked about over the weekend, Jericho Sims, you got to give him a shot. You paid him for the last 3 years. We always see something, but we don't see everything. And we got to find out. So, you know, so before we send him somewhere else and he becomes an 18-minute guy, a Zubac type guy, you know, we know what he can do. I want to find out what he haven't seen yet. Because the athletes certainly there. And we'll see. But it was a nice ending. The big fella looked good. There's a German kid. I don't know their names. They probably won't. They'll probably be G League. The German kid and the Lithuanian kid, the other point guard, and the big kid who rebounded well, you know, did Summer League. The only one thing you can do in Summer League, play yourself off of the G League. That's about it. I don't see much else comes out of it because I remember, and thanks for the time, let me be your stringer. I got to tell you something. You told me something years ago, two years ago. You said it's enough sending Deuce McBride to Westchester because if I remember the five games up there, was he in the 40s?
Yeah, a couple of them.
And so we knew we could do it. Now it's just a question of timing. He got exposed. We'll see, but it's nice to see them win on a last-second play. I don't know. You know, I don't know what I'm watching, but I'm looking for some basketball activity. And I have a job from my friend, who I sent you his invitation. He's performing out in Hamptons at his band. He's going to perform not that far from you. And he said, what's Larry think about the Nets? I said, I'll listen tonight. He's doing a solo. So I got enough so far. You gave me enough. They have to make a couple of moves, right?
Oh, absolutely, Spike. Absolutely. And thanks for the phone call, my friend. Yeah, definitely. It's got to be the bullpen. It's got to be the bullpen. It is, definitely. That's the number one thing for the Mets, is to figure out how to get some consistency in that bullpen, how to build a bridge. How can you get to Edwin Diaz and not have Carlos Mendoza sitting with a bottle of Tums in the dugout on the roller coaster because you just don't know? And listen, I get it. Nobody is going to be Mariano Rivera. Nobody. And you watch these guys come in. In the All-Star game last night, 103, they're throwing 103, 102, 101. I get it. That's the new bullpen. That's what you want. I mean, I got a guy. Diaz throws over 100 routinely. But listen, it's baseball, folks. I don't care how hard you throw it. If there's no movement, it's going out faster than it came in. And in a lot of these situations, that's what's been happening. It's going out faster than it's coming in. And it's bad pitch selection. It's bad. It's bad. Bunch of different things. So you just don't know. You just don't know what you're getting from this Met bullpen. And that's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. Especially when you have the opportunity right now to try to improve. And once again, I know it's not going to be easy. I get it. I know. Because everybody's looking for him. But for the Mets, that's the one thing you have to get. It's not like the Yankees, they have to get a bunch of different things. This is the one thing you have to get. And listen, we got David Stearns. So that should be good. 1-800-919-3776. We'll take more of your calls next on 98.7 ESPN.
This is ESPN New York Tonight. Here's Larry Hardesty.
We're talking a little baseball, sprinkling in some basketball and football now as we expand the topics for you to comment on. And let's talk a little football with Jose in Brooklyn. Jose, you're next on 98.7.
Good evening, Larry. Shout out to the company. And as I was just talking to Julian earlier, I was just like, wow, this is the first time I'm ever going to do this. Are you ready, Larry?
What's that?
I'm going to actually disagree with you as a Jet fan.
Okay. Okay, good.
And even though I know you're not a Jet fan, but I know that you've covered the Jets and you've listened to all of our complaints and, you know, our worrisomes and all of this, you know, stuff and all that. But, you know, I totally get why you would pick Brandon Ayuk, because he is young, he's physical. Mm-hmm. He mm-hmm. goes over the middle. He mm-hmm. does everything that you could ever ask. But as a Jet fan, when I saw that game, when they faced the Raiders, where both quarterbacks were horrible, and mm-hmm. in that first half, I saw a first half that was dominated by two wide receivers on right. the opposite teams. And I was just wondering as a Jet fan, boy, if they could ever pull it off, I would love to see that duo combination of Adams and Wilson, and who better than Aaron Rodgers to be the guy to be throwing the ball to them, because that to me would get me excited, and that's just from me as a Jet, from my Jet fandom perspective. So that's just what I wanted to say, Larry, and thank you for your time. I hope you have a great one, guy. Amen.
Hi, Jose, thanks for the phone call. Listen, it's okay for you to disagree with me, but you made my point. You understand what I'm looking for, because I'm looking for a situation for the Jets where they have a receiver that is able to perform with another quarterback just in case everything doesn't go right this year. All right, let's say hypothetically, Jose, that, and I'm not wishing this, I'm just looking at it on the outside. Okay, I'm on the outside. And I'm saying, well, okay, what happens if the goal falls short? It just happens. Whether it was an injury, whether it was a bad break, whatever happens, you fall short, okay? And this whole thing, you change your quarterback and everything. Jose, wouldn't you want a young receiving core that could grow with your young quarterback? I mean, why are we trying to just make it Davante Adams is the only guy that can, you know, work with Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers is a future Hall of Fame quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is a two-time MVP. Aaron Rodgers should be able to throw with anybody. Now, I get in this age of I want to play with my guys, then of course you'd want Davante Adams. Of course Aaron Rodgers wants Davante Adams, obviously. But why shouldn't you, if you're going to add a quarterback, I mean, if you're going to add a wide receiver, why shouldn't you get a younger wide receiver? Why shouldn't you get one that has more of a future? Why shouldn't you get one that's a physical wide receiver? And I get that all wide receivers are divas, but I'm saying when I'm looking at, I mean, Davante, what was one? I'm going to paraphrase Davante Adams. He's like, I got to get out of here. They're trying to kill me. What? I get that it's not the greatest. It's a kid that it's not the greatest quarterback in the world. I get it. But how often does a great receiver help a quarterback out? Not even the great Peyton Manning throws perfect passes. Not even the legendary Tom Brady. Those are perfect pass all the time. Sometimes you have to have a wide receiver that's going to help you out. So I'm just saying, if I had my choice, give me Ayuk. No, once again, no shade to Davante Adams. We know how great Davante Adams is. Davante Adams is an outstanding receiver, tall receiver that would be outstanding in the red zone. I get it. We know how great he is. We know. But I'm just saying, if I got a sign, and I don't know what the numbers are. I know that Davante Adams is going to make the contracts a little easy. I think it's $15 million, $16 million this year, if my memory serves me correct, that he's supposed to make ahead of the really big money that he's going to have and the dead money cap and so on and so forth. There's those implications, but listen, obviously, if that's what Aaron Rodgers wants and you want to go all in and whatnot, yeah, that's the way to go. But I'm just saying, if it were me, I would do my best to get Brandon Ayuk. But, you know, Devontae Adams is not bad. Not at all. As a matter of fact, you know, Devontae Adams was on the Club Shay Shay podcast. And he was asked about all these Aaron Rodgers rumors. Of course, Aaron Rodgers at the golf outing said, yeah, I'm looking forward to playing with Devontae Adams again. And despite the fact that Adams' representatives have come out strongly to say that this is preposterous. Oh, we're not in any. We're not talking. We're not thinking about that. We're good. We're good. We're good. I just have a feeling that where there's smoke, there's fire. Devontae, what's going on with these Rodgers rumors?
So what about these internet about you reuniting with Aaron? Is that something, you would be open to, amenable to if this had happened this offseason? If a package, the Jets offered a package big enough to satisfy the Raiders' need and you be reunited with Aaron, would that have been something you'd have been open to?
Well, I'll answer it like this. If I'm be reunited with anybody, it would be Aaron.
Okay.
But or be, you know, relocated and be anywhere, it would be with Aaron.
Okay. So you're saying there's a chance. You're saying he's willing to help work out a deal. He would love to come with Aaron Rodgers. Once again, that's Devontae Adams on the Club Shay Shay podcast. Louis Riddick was on Get Up this morning. He's a little tired of this Jet fantasy talk.
Why don't they try and go out and get Trent Williams, too? And maybe they should go out and try and get, you know, Lane Johnson, too, since, you know, why not? Why don't they just try and get everybody? Just ask every team, hey, can I have your best player? Can I get your best player? You know what? We spend so much time talking about, listen, how about the quarterback just stays healthy? How about they just protect him? How about he just stays on the field for, you know, for 17 games? How about they just do that? All right? I'm Greeny. Really, yes, I'm tired of your team, to be honest with you, dude. I'm tired of talking about your team.
I'm tired of talking about
your team, man. They're fine right now. They're fine. Just let them play.
We don't
just
need
let
fine.
Them play. I think
fine.
I actually think they're good enough right now to compete.
All right, so I get what Louis Riddick is trying to say. Okay? And he's a little tired of the conversation. And it's just like the conversation last year with the Jets. Okay, they got Aaron Rodgers, they were on Hard Knocks, everything was Jets. I get it. But Louis Riddick also understands, as a former general manager in the National Football League, that the Jets are doing what they're supposed to do. They're trying to get as many good players on their team as possible. And if it means they can find a way to get Devontae Adams, then that's what they're supposed to do. As a Jet fan, that's what you want from your team, finally. That they go out and they get players who are not past their prime, players who can help this team, players who don't have an injury history, then that's what their job is supposed to be. So while he says, well, go out and get this player, go out and get that player, well, if they're available, that's what Joe Douglas's job is. That's what Joe Shane's job is. That's what every GM's job is in the National Football League. Go out and get the best group of players available, put them on the field, and let's go. 1-800-919-3776. We'll take more of your calls next on 98.7 ESPN.
This is ESPN New York Tonight. Here's Larry Hardesty.
Giant fans, I want to hear from you. 1-800-919-3776. Jets fans have already checked in. But I want to hear from you, Giant fans. What are you thinking about the Hard Knocks offseason with Big Blue that's airing Tuesday nights? What are you thinking? What are your thoughts about it? Are you learning anything about your team? Is there anything that you've seen that has disturbed you? What have you thought about this? 1-800-919-3776. Kimberly Martin, Kmart, was on First Take. And she has covered the National Football League forever. Done a great job with it. I was covering the Jets when she first came on the beat with the New York Jets. And, you know, she has strong ties in that organization. Does a great job covering the National Football League. Here's her take on First Take about the Jets and Devontae Adams.
Here's the thing with the Jets.
You have gone all in on this is our moment. This is our guy. We finally have a future Hall of Famer at quarterback. We cannot lose. So much is riding on this season. Jobs are on the line. Don't push everything into the middle of the table and then say, you know what, Devontae Adams, that's a price too steep. No, go all in, because you cannot leave anything to chance. You are in a division with Buffalo. You are in a division with Miami. You are in a conference with Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, a healthy Joe Burrow. Listen, just because they have a good team, you look at the Eagles. Every time I turn around, it seems like Howie's adding somebody else. It's like, don't they have enough players? It's not enough until you win a chip. That's what it's about. To me, if Aaron Rodgers said, yo, I can't wait to play with my boy again, and Devontae's like, I want to be in Las Vegas, but let me tell you, if there's anywhere that I'm relocating for anybody, it's going to be Aaron. Figure out how to get that done.
Like I said, if you have determined Joe Douglas, Robert Saleh, Woody Johnson, Aaron Rodgers, that this is a guy that can clearly make this team better, and you have the ability to get him without blowing up your whole salary cap structure, without moving personnel that you desperately need, then you have to investigate trying to get that done. That's your job. So once again, going back to what Lewis Riddick had to say about, well, why don't you go get this player? Why don't you go get that player? And I get it. It's not that we're trying to get an all Madden team. I understand that. We're not trying to get an all Madden team. I get it. But this is a franchise that hasn't gone to the playoffs in a while. I'm not going to name the number. I'm not going to keep punishing Jet fans. It's just the facts. You have an obligation to get those players. Jobs are on the line here. You can tell me jobs are on the line in every city and every league and every sport. Yeah, but not like here. Because this was a major gamble that was taken by this organization. Because the quarterback play had been so bad. And they felt defensively they were getting close. So that you were a quarterback away from making something magical happen this season. You were a quarterback away from this season, last season. It was really last season, right? And that set the whole thing. Oh, Aaron Rodgers, let's get him out of Green Bay. He wants to be here. Let's trade. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's do this, everything. And mind you, listen, had you gotten the right young quarterback, you wouldn't be in this situation. But that ship has sailed. All right? So now you are in a position where you have to do whatever it takes to get to where you got to go. And if that means Devontae Adams, then you go get Devontae Adams. If it means Ayuk, then you go get Ayuk. Whatever it means for you to go and do without seriously blowing up your salary cap and making it that you can't make other moves, and that's why you have a capologist that you're paying an exorbitant amount of money to figure that out, to make sure it doesn't happen, that's what you need to go do. So I understand that, you know, well, here we keep talking about the, well, you know, moves are happening. National Football League is a year round thing right now. You continue to talk about the National Football League.
This is ESPN New York Tonight. Here's Larry Hardesty.